Election College, episode 138. So who turns out for elections?
Let's throw a political party. Face it, the political scene sucks, but did it always? It's time for Election College, and class is in session. Now, your hosts, Jason Goff and Ben Smith.
Wow, Ben, in just a few days, Americans all over the place are going to head to the polls. I know a lot have already gone to early voting centers and cast their votes. Some have even mailed in their ballots. But get this. In the last presidential election, which I think that was a pretty big election, right? 57.5% of eligible Americans voted in the presidential election.
That's a crazy high number, especially as you'll find out what history looks like for that. But you'll probably hear us a couple times saying also eligible voters. And we just want to point out, and we may talk about this more later, that you can be an American and you can be of age to vote, but not be considered an eligible voter due to a whole variety of things, including, you know, being registered or not. So just wanted to get that out of the way in advance why we might keep saying eligible voters.
So the United States, you know, we boast about being free and amazing and awesome. But according to the Institute for Democracy and Electoral Assistance, the United States ranks 120 out of 169 countries in voter turnout.
Whoops.
And yeah, get this, Ben. In the primary, which presidential primary especially, mm-hmm. you would think that would generate a lot of people coming yeah. out. Only about 30% of eligible voters voted.
That's ridiculous. I mean, if you look around the world at some different countries, we've got Belgium. And they vote at a rate of over 87%. And Turkey and Sweden are both over 80%. So, I mean, we're not talking about small countries here either. These are large countries where they got lots of people. And they're putting us to shame here in America. Come on, guys. What are you doing? Yeah. Now, of course, there are some countries where it's compulsory to vote. And you get a fine if you don't. So, maybe that has a little bit of a nudge as well. But certainly, you have to imagine that people who appreciate democracy actually go out and vote.
Yeah. You know, we're talking about compulsory voting and Australia. Mm-hmm. That's probably one of the larger countries that has such a rule in place. You'll get fined about $20 if you don't vote. And it's yeah. pretty crazy. I don't know how they enforce that. Like, what would happen if we have any Australians in the audience? I'd love to hear what would happen if
some.
You don't vote. Yeah. But there was one thing that I read out there that said back in 2010, around 6,000 people in the state of Tasmania decided, meh, we're not going to vote. And 2,000 of those people said, here's your money. Take it. I don't want to vote. And the rule isn't that, well, you have to vote for somebody. It's just that you've marked off a ballot and said, here, I'm at least making my voice known. So,
yeah, here's a funny one, Jason, or maybe it's sad, I guess. North Korea, we all know North Korea to be a dictatorship, but to keep up appearance, if you are over the age of 7, and I can't offend anybody there because they can't listen to this, but everyone over the age of 17 is required to vote. And you probably know this. There's only one person that is on the ballot. So, of course, you are able to say, no, I'm going to dissent. I am not going to vote for this individual. And there will be some repercussions in your future.
Yeah. My goodness, Americans, you do have a choice in this election. And I hope that you've been listening to several of the episodes that we've had. It's not just a presidential election this year that this is a privilege that you have and an opportunity no matter what. And we'll get into that just a little bit. There's some perceptions out there that people are like, well, my voice doesn't really count. And with the system that we have, it doesn't really matter, but it does. And, you know, don't want to leave this too bleak, but this decline in voter turnout has been a steady downward occurrence for over 50 years. And there are a lot of theories as to why this is. You know, we tend to say, well, I'm busy. It's not a national holiday. Election Day isn't. But are we really so busy that we don't have time to cast a vote? Could it be that perhaps we're distracted?
Yeah, I think that's certainly possible. I also saw recently, within the last month or so, that since polls have been widely publicized, such as through television media or the radio, print, not as much, but especially in television and radio, that as polls grow closer and closer to each other, and that it's publicized and made widely available, more and more people think, oh, I don't need to vote because my candidate is either super far in the lead or super far behind, or it's dead even. So it doesn't really affect me as much because, you know, the chances are my vote's not going to count since it's so dead even. So that's also another thing is, you know, technology is wonderful, but is it affecting? I mean, this is just a theory I think someone had, but is it affecting the way that we vote and if we vote for that matter?
Yeah. I just wonder, Ben, sometimes about where places are getting their poll data, because especially this year, we've seen a lot of variance in the polls. And a lot of times the polls will just ask people in general. They won't break it down state by state. And right. Then how are they contacting these people? Because, well, guess what? A lot of us don't have landlines and we haven't had landlines for 16 years. It's just one of those things that, well, maybe they are finding people on their cell phones. Maybe they're finding people on the internet. But those polls are becoming less and less reliable, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, so women like to vote, and they vote at a higher proportion than men for the last 9 presidential elections. I think that's since 1980. They've been voting for at a higher rate. And I mean, think about it. Women fought hard, and a lot of men fought for women, but women especially fought hard for suffrage to be able to even go out and be allowed to vote, because in the early days of the country, and actually not that long ago days of the country, women weren't allowed to vote. So could it be said that they appreciate it more because there are some people in the past who were not able to vote? I think that's probably likely, but go women. And come on, men, why aren't you voting at the same rate as women?
Yeah. Interestingly enough, shortly after the 19th Amendment was passed, a lot of women still didn't show up. So yeah. That's a very recent thing that the higher percentage of women would come out and vote. You know, another demographic that is notorious for not getting out there and participating in the electoral process are young people. Even with campaigns like MTV had Rock the Vote, and I haven't heard too much this year, probably because I'm so far out of this demographic, but 18 to 25 year olds have always, at least in recent history, had a lower rate of turnout. According to the Stanford Social Innovation Review, this actually doesn't seem like it's a recent occurrence, but that every generation tends to, as they get older, show up at the ballot box. So I thought that was kind of interesting, because think about it. The people who we're electing today, their policies, well, we don't really see the fruit of their presidency until after they're out of office for a while. I mean, think about it. We have yet to see a lot of the economic policies of the Obama administration hit us. It's going to be after he's out of office for a little bit.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And It's funny because sometimes you hear people who are a little older talk about how, oh yeah, those young kids, they don't go out and vote anymore. And they did some studies based on that and looked at demographic information from as far back as they had it and said, no, like Jason was saying, no, young people have always voted at a lower rate. It's just the people who complain about it remember that they voted because that when they were that age, they did vote. So when you get older, if you're a young person listening to this, and when you get older, don't say, oh, kids don't go out and vote anymore, because, you know, it was probably the same year you were in that age range.
Yeah. So education has a lot to do with whether you're going to go out and vote or not. Statistically speaking, that is. Those holding advanced degrees are 3 times more likely than those who have less than a high school education.
It's crazy.
Yeah. And there's a lot of theories out there as to why that might be. You know, is it that, well, people who live in lower economic neighborhoods, maybe they feel like, well, my voice doesn't count. Can we go back to that argument? Or could it be that, well, it's always been that way, so right, we're not going to staff the polling place as well as we will in some of the higher income areas where they traditionally have had a high voter turnout. So, you know, you go into a poor neighborhood and you might have to wait longer than you would in a more affluent one.
Yeah, and that's kind of the same argument and the same cyclical nature as people in lower income ranges going to be able to afford education. So, you know, people can't afford education, so they don't get a better education. So they oftentimes end up staying in the same class that they started in, which means then that their descendants will do the same thing. So if you are part of a culture or neighborhood that historically has not voted because of, let's say it's, you know, you don't have a car or you don't have a way to get there, or the polling place is not staffed or whatever, then you typically should learn from your parents. And if your parents didn't vote and didn't make that a priority or weren't able to vote, then you probably won't vote as well. So it's kind of a crazy self-perpetuating cycle that's happening.
Yeah. And Ben, I have seen over the last several weeks, and I predicted this, of course, and you predicted it as well, and we named a podcast after this, the Electoral College. You know, there are a lot of controversies surrounding, well, should we still have this antiquated system? Or, you know what? Hey, the Electoral College, it's the bee's knees. You know, this is what it's all about. We love the Electoral College. So you've heard both sides. And let's just face it, it's not going to change this year. It's not going to change anytime soon. It's the system that we have. And under this system, and we've talked about this, especially over the last several episodes, you know, we had Jen Briney on from Congressional Dish last week, where we talked about, yeah, there's a lot that goes on in Washington that's horrible, but guess what? The government belongs to us, and we do have a say in what happens in our government. And the Electoral College, let's spin it in the positive, okay? Because that's the system that we have.
Right.
Well, that does mean that you have a voice. So no matter what, if you live in Wyoming or if you live in California, sure, the people in Wyoming might have a higher percentage of each vote has that much influence on the presidential election, but California is still a bigger state. So Wyoming does have the opportunity to have a voice on the presidential side of things. And this is a good thing that, well, voters in smaller states do have that say. And if you're in a larger state, great. You have an opportunity as well.
Yeah, for sure. It's amazing how many different things can factor into people voting or not voting. One of them may be the fact that people work. Jason, what do you think? Should the day that elections are held, should that be a national holiday? Would that allow more people to get out and vote to or from their way to work? Or would that just allow people for a long weekend and they decide to go away so they're not home to vote anyway? It's kind of a two-edged sword there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, we live in this free society and we do have a choice. We have the opportunity to register. And mm-hmm. for this particular election, that period has closed. And I hope that, our astute listeners will have taken that opportunity to register. But as we said earlier, you know, just because you're registered to vote, there's a large percentage of people who are still not going to the polls.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, we want you to make sure you vote. And we don't just mean that in a kitschy way. I'm serious. We want you to vote for the president. We want you to vote for the Congress that'll be coming in. We want you to vote for any kind of ballot initiatives that are on in your state and be informed about those before you go. You can literally Google your ballot before you go. And we think it's really important to be informed, an informed voter, as well as to just actually make the effort to walk or drive or ride a bus or whatever you need to do to get out there and vote for the election. We also want you to vote for the future of Election College. Tell us who you are, what you like, how we can best serve you. We have a survey up over at electioncollege.com/survey. We are really thankful for all of you who have already voted in that survey, and we're looking forward to seeing the rest of those responses. You can do that through Election Day, and if you forgot the link already, it's down in the show notes.
Yeah. So one other way that you can participate in the process of promoting this podcast is by leaving us a rating and review in iTunes. Just head over to electioncollege.com/iTunes or, well, open that app there on your phone and leave us that star rating and review. We certainly appreciate that. And don't forget, we are on social media at Election College on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We'd love to interact with you there.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. We really do appreciate it. electioncollege.com/survey. We'll see you next time.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.